Welcome to the Blooming League of Original Podcast.
Welcome to Season 2 of And the EGOT Goes To, a breakdown and predictions podcast for the major U.S.-based award shows. Today we start our second season by discussing the 77th Annual Tony Awards and the 2023-2024 Broadway season. I'm your host, Spencer, and with me is our Tony's panel.
Hi. I'm like, how do I do this? Hi, I'm Ashley. I see a lot of theater. I talk about it on TikTok, Instagram, all of the platforms, and I'm really excited about this season, where we have a lot of women telling women stories, and that's what I care about, and I don't care about boys. That's all.
Hi, I'm Kate. Theater is my life, and I love seeing it, and I cannot wait to talk about the season, which is overwhelming in the best kind of way.
Hi, I am JT and I do NYC. I am obsessed with theater. I will see anything once, and I am super excited about this season that I am extremely behind on. But don't worry, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Today we're going to be discussing the current Broadway season and answering some audience questions as well. So there are I believe 40 shows that were on Broadway this season, including limited runs and special events. It was an insane season. We have 15 new musicals, 6 productions eligible for Best Revival of a Musical, 10 new plays, 5 play revivals. It has been a crazy season, including some really interesting productions. How's everyone feeling so far?
It's been busy, but I've been like very pleasantly surprised in general. I think I was worried about a lot of these shows because it felt like a lot of these shows were just like running to Broadway. And I was sort of like, I still don't know if there's enough space to have all of them. In fact, I think there's probably arguments that there's not enough space to have all of them. I mean, technically space, but emotional. But overall, I've really enjoyed the shows I've seen this season, and I've seen almost all of them.
No, I was just going to say that it is very overwhelming, especially when you are a completionist like myself, and also when you just love theater. And there's so many awesome Broadway debuts, so many awesome directors that I'm happy to see back on Broadway. And it's just a lot to take in, and like you have to pick and choose what you want to see when you have to like navigate, you know, time and energy and a day job and making other content and seeing and like you honing your craft and just all kinds of stuff. It's a lot. I am super excited, and this is shaping up to be a great season, and I can't wait.
Yes. I'm just really excited that like this is definitely the year that I've seen the most pre-Broadway. And I also was worried that stuff was rushing too fast. And I'm excited by how much work has been done on these shows before coming. Like just the amount of change that has happened, even to shows that I didn't think were gonna change. Like I just saw Cabaret last night and it was a different show than what I saw in London in the best way. That's been really exciting to me, getting to see that progression and getting to see where these shows have like ended up and how they feel just fully fleshed out. And a lot of really exciting stuff happening. Too many shows, but that's a problem I would rather have than the opposite.
I think what I would say is, you know, we all try and see everything. Imagine you're a tourist or a ticket buyer who wants to see one show. What do you pick? Is it just you're so overwhelmed by the new shows, you go see Wicked? So like what happened?
It's very interesting. And just I'm sure this has happened some of you, but just the amount of people that will ask me my recommendations and they'll be like, I only have 2 slots. And I'm like, I don't know. You need more slots. Extend your trip. Like, I don't know how you pick. And because there's some that I definitely think that there's something for everybody, but it's a matter of like, what is that something for you? And there's so many options. It's hard to figure that out.
When I also think they're right. They're also so different in terms of taste, right? Like,
yeah.
like there are shows like I'm not recommending that my mom goes and sees Tommy, like, because I'm like, I like, anyway, like we're like, but I'm like, but there's an audience, like there's an audience, a different audience for like, it feels like every single show. So when someone I don't know comes to me and is like, what do I see? I'm like, what do you like? Like, because yeah. Like, I have no idea. Like, I have no, I'm like, well, you like The Notebook? I don't, like, do you like that? Like there's like, there are, you know what I mean? Like, that's what's hard is I feel like also like there's so many genre specific musicals in a weird way that it isn't like Wicked where I'm like, I can send anyone to Wicked and they'll probably leave it being like, that was great. But like, if I send some the wrong person to The Notebook or Tommy or Suffs or, like, it's like, if it's like they're all very specific genre type shows. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Yeah. The one that keeps tripping me up is The Water for Elephants and The Notebook, because to me, they're very different, but also very similar. And it's like, yeah, like understanding somebody's taste to that level of, you know, do you want very like almost focused on emotion and the writing and the songs, or do you want focused on spectacle and staging? And but at the end of the day, they're both old men telling a love story. Like, it's yeah, very,
I mean, for me, similar. it's very easy because I'm just not sending anyone to Water for Elephants because I didn't like it.
But people love Water yes. for Elephants. Like, people, yes. there are genuine people that love Water for Elephants way more than they love The Notebook, least of all, Jesse Green. So it's, you know, how.
But like, I have like a lot of my influencer friends, we all saw, a lot of us saw The Notebook and Water for Elephants back to back nights, and most of them left saying they liked Water for Elephants better. Like, and again, like, I think there's, and I liked Water for Elephants a lot, to be 100%. Like, I really enjoy Water for Elephants. I like The Notebook more. Like, and I would put, and I'd put Water for Elephants like far, much farther down my list. And not because I didn't enjoy it, just because I think there are a lot of shows that I just really liked this season. Yep, like, I yep. loved Limpika. I loved Suffs. I loved The Notebook. So like, the, but like, I'm not going to recommend Limpika to like a lot of people because it's very specific. Like,
yeah, yeah. And I think, yeah, you know, what's great about a panel like this is we all have very different views on theaters. I feel Ashley mm-hmm. just likes a lot of things.
One, I just don't talk about the shows that I
yeah.
hate.
Yeah, that's
like
it.
I don't. Like, I just won't. I won't talk about the shows I hate. So,
and I'm very much a House Kitchen as much as you want.
I'm very much a pessimist on things. If I don't like something, I really don't like it.
I'm very 100% a devil's advocate. I will tell you what I love. Mm-hmm. I will tell you what I didn't like. But the reasons that I don't like it might be the reasons you do.
Yeah. So.
Exactly. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So let's talk. Let's answer some of these audience questions as sort of a transition to talking about the early season. The question is from our buddy Zach. Will anything from the fall that has since closed be remembered at the Tonys? I'm going to remind you now of the shows that opened pre-December in terms of musicals. Because I do think that is the category that is most robust.
Are we just doing musicals? Because my answer is John Does African Hair Pretty.
That as well. But I think that the plays will be more remembered from the fall. In terms of musicals, we have Once Upon a One More Time, Here Lies Love, Back to the Future, Harmony, and How to Dance in Ohio are the shows that opened from the first half of the season. And I can answer first. I really hope we see Chip Zine get a Tony nomination for his performance in Harmony. To me, that's the most likely, other than lighting or set nomination for Back to the Future.
I definitely was going to agree with you for some sort of design situation for Back to the Future, for sure.
I'm really sad that those shows are gonna get forgotten, because I do think that there was some great design in like Here Lies Love and even Once Upon a One More Time.
Choreography, yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like here the problem, if Cabaret didn't exist, I feel like Here Lies Love would, but like, that's the issue. And
And I don't even think it's just Here Lies Love. Like, I think Tommy plays a huge, I mean, not just Cabaret, but I think like Tommy's going to take a lot of the design, and it's most of the same design team. So it's, yeah, it just sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen Tommy on Broadway yet. I saw it in Chicago, but someone asked me to describe it, and I just said it's loud. Like, that's Tommy. It's loud. It's rambunctious. It is
projection.
Big rock coming at you. And I do hope that we get some love for, like I said, Chip Zine. I think that performance was really special.
Yeah, I don't know if we will, though.
I agree with you.
I also, like, I'm sad we're not going to see noms for Jen Samard and Justin Guarini, because I thought they were incredible.
100%.
And I think in a smaller season, we totally could have seen a Tony nomination for Liam Pierce as well.
Yes. And I'm also, like, I had issues with how to dance and how it was written, but I was really hoping for a score nomination. And I'm like, we're not, not with Stereophonic being eligible for a score. Like, not happening.
Yeah, I think that this early season will not be remembered. Again, I do think Back to the Future will probably get a design something.
I can see a world where that doesn't even happen. But I think we're going to see the design for the car.
Yeah. I don't know what category they put it in, but I do think that they will honor that.
Scenic, that's scenic.
I guess. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Best Revival of a Musical, we have 6 nominees.
I think Gutenberg is going to get forgotten now, which is too bad, because that's been one of my favorite shows of the season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But with the revivals, there's so many good shows.
Yeah, I mean,
I would have
said at the beginning of the season that Merrily is a shoe-in. And I'm not so not sure anymore. For not a nomination, anymore. 100%. For a nomination, 100%. Yes, yes, yes. They are getting nominated.
Kate already heard my diatribe on this, but my diatribe on this is that it's the same it's the same producing team as Cabaret. Like, the same lead producers do Merrily and Cabaret, and Merrily closes in July, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I think that if they want one show, because they want Cabaret, the money they've put into that beautiful theater, like, it's incredible. Like, that's not a show that they're going to be like, this is going to run for 6 months. Like, they want this show running in 5 years. Right. And I think that at the end of the day, like, if they're going to decide what they want to put power behind, I think it's going to be a Cabaret. I still think Daniel and probably Lindsay walk away with the Tony at the end of the day. I don't know if Jonathan does. I think
he gets nominated.
No, he definitely gets nominated. Yeah. Definitely gets nominated. I don't at this. And again, I went to, like, invited dress. It was very, very early. But, like, I don't see at this point him beating Eddie. Eddie is what Eddie does in this show is so unbelievable.
Insane. I was shook.
Right. Like, the fit, like,
I can't wait.
Yeah. I can't wait until I win the lottery.
I can't even do it. Like, he's so good.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. I think Best Play is also really interesting. If we talk about the first half of the season, we have Grey House, The Cottage, The Shark Is Broken, Zsa Zsa's African Hair Braiding, I Need That, and Prayer for the French Republic all opened.
Jaws for sure.
In the first half.
Do we think, does Just For Us not count? Do they not count it as play?
It's not eligible.
Oh.
It's a special event.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. Because they did not discuss it at the first meeting.
And then our second half, obviously, is Stereophonic, Patriots, Mary Jane, and Mother Play.
I think it is Stereophonics to lose. I think.
Yeah.
100%.
Just hearing from the 3 days it's been on Broadway, the response, I feel like.
Yeah. I would have before Stereophonic said Prayer for the French Republic.
Yeah.
Which I do think at the end of the day that will be who it's between. But I JT and I are seeing Stereophonic in a couple weeks, but
it's so good. I mean, I'm
so excited.
It's so I was like, I think Revival, I think it's appropriate, but I think for it's funny because I mean, I guess in general plays are normally the ones you're kind of like, we know which are, but like
I think appropriate going Revival really changed the race, because otherwise it would have been very tight for Best Play.
Yes, I agree. I think appropriate going Revival completely changed the race, changed everything.
Well, and then I think another interesting category is Best Score, because we do have Stereophonic in there, which will 100% get a nomination.
Wins. I think it has the best score of any. It has my personal best score.
And now we have our musicals of the second half of the season. Which is The Notebook, Water for Elephants, The Outsiders, Lampika, Suffs, Hell's Kitchen, The Heart of Rock and Roll, The Great Gatsby, and Illinois.
Heart of Rock and Roll is going to be the secret dark horse.
I agree. Season. That was the next question from the audience.
I've heard so much of that.
Heart of Rock and Roll is great. It's so great. Much fun. It I was not expecting to enjoy myself. I loved it.
I've said this and I mean this. I think it was the best first preview I've seen this season. Like in terms of like, I have no notes for them. Like I almost no notes for them. But like in terms of like, I think a lot of shows, I'm like, oh, I see the potential here, but it needs a little bit of work. Heart of Rock and Roll, I was like, you're at 97%.
I'm so sad I have to wait another week to go see it.
Like, I literally was like, this could be opening in the next 3 days. Like,
yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. You know what? Mackenzie Kurtz wants to win Best Actress. I'm here for it, you know?
I'd be down.
I love her so much. I have not seen Heart of Rock and Roll, but she has stolen every single show I've ever seen her in.
And I mean, I don't care. You can post this. But like, I was a little nervous for Corey Cott at press preview. Like, it wasn't that he sounded bad. He just sounded so Broadway. And I was like, very nervous. And he is incredible. Like, I was like, oh, like, it was really like, I was like, so surprised.
I might get a Tony nomination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Y'all know how I feel about my Corey Cott.
And the court, I think in a different year, it could have won choreography. Like, I don't think it beats Outsiders or like Illinois, but like the choreography slaps. Like,
hopefully it'll get a nomination.
I should go see both of them on the same day.
And I love Lauren Littell's choreography in general. So I am glad that she is working, booked and busy.
Yes.
Days of Wine and Roses, do we think it'll
JT.
I already forgot about that show.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I think it probably gets a nomination for best. I think there was a time where it probably could have won. I think we probably lost the momentum of it winning. But like when it was the thing where every single show was getting bad reviews and it was getting like it got such good reviews, and Kelly and Brian are so
I think we see it. Brian I, probably get a nomination.
I think we see both of them probably get a nomination to be. Because I think this year it's about like kind of like last year, it's about the supporting, right? Like the supporting categories are really stacked. I think we actually have a little bit of space to play in best. But yeah, I think the momentum is gone from it. I think the interesting thing for me is how Suffs falls into the category into the mess of all of it.
Yeah, that's my biggest question. And then so is Notebook, who is leading, who's supporting.
If they try to squeeze Miriam Plunkett into leading.
Yeah. Which changes that category. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it does to be now, but like I would have said she was the front runner until I saw Cabaret, and now I don't think. Like I think I don't I to me Gail is gonna win that category. Like she's so good.
Yeah.
I didn't even have her on my like people to watch, which is so embarrassing.
And then speaking of people to watch and specifically young people, Hell's Kitchen, Malia Joy Moon, who is fantastic in that show. Kate didn't love it. But
I loved her. I loved her. I think she should get a nomination for sure.
But I don't think we see a Shoshana Bean, Brandon Victor Dixon nomination with this year.
No. It's too packed. And they're again, because the issue is right now, I could go on again another rant, but our supporting category are too many people that are huge roles, right? Like most of the supporting are people who are like borderline supporting lead, but I agree that Lindsay Mendez is a supporting. But like borderline lead.
Yeah.
Like same with Joy Woods, supporting borderline lead. Like these are huge roles. And how do you compare that to like Grace now is a much smaller role in Suffs, but like a Grace McLean in Suffs off Broadway, where like she had a definitive supporting role. Now her role, I think, is way too tiny to even be considered. But
yeah, I mean, I think that that's kind of the issue with this season. Like Jeremy Jordan and Eva Nobletada for Gatsby, who are giving incredible performances. I think we squeeze in a Jeremy Jordan nomination.
Jeremy Jordan is the most miscast person of the whole season.
Oh, 100%. But I do think that he gets a nomination.
I don't think there's a chance, but maybe.
Again, I have
there's
a
season. There's only five nominees, Spencer. And you have three revivals.
Jeremy sounds so beautiful. And I actually don't blame him for the way. I think it's a directing issue more than it is a, like,
That's my main issue with that show is the direction.
He's such a Nick pretending to be a Gatsby. And I just can't get over. And Eva's incredible. And I would actually love to see an Eva nomination. I don't think we'll get it because I don't think there's room. But like, I think what she's doing is really, really beautiful. And I feel like he's trying really hard.
Can I just say, I love the idea that their vision was to have a Nick that became a Gatsby on accident. And I kind of love that. And I think that's what they were going for, but it's like, it's so weird to do, and I'm here for it.
And it's like all of his suits are ill-fitting, and I'm like, is this like intentional or just like happily unintentionally intentional? Yeah. Like none of his clothes fit, and I'm like, is this supposed to be like a nod to like, but like I don't think that's what they're doing, but they should say that's what they're doing.
Speaking up as the in-house Jeremy Jordan stan, I absolutely agree that he is totally miscast in this role. I will happily go see him 50 times in a role that he's miscast for. 100% not a Gatsby, but he's cast and he's on a show, so I'm going to go see it.
And he's never, I will say, he's never sounded better. Like,
yeah, he sounds fantastic. Yeah.
He sounds so good. Like, him and Eva sound so good together. All of his songs are beautiful. Like, that's not the, like.
And ultimately, this show is going to live on in the cast recording. And so it's brilliant.
Brilliant.
It's
brilliant.
Yeah. Again, we don't ever need to think about his acting ever again in the role once the cast recording comes out.
And again,
the show has been doing very well. I've heard that they've sold out every preview so far.
We're in a weird time. Suffs has sold out almost every preview.
Yeah, like, I was at a Thursday night performance of Suffs and it was full.
It's just nice. I was at the Sunday matinee, totally, completely sold out. I was like, this is great. We love to see it.
And I don't even think I've seen very many empty houses this season, which is weird because of how much there is.
Did you not go see closing weekend of Days of Wine and Roses? That was only half full. And I was like, this is the most depressing closing week I've ever seen of a show on Broadway.
And a depressing show. So it's just ultra depressing.
Yeah.
I mean, but the best part of that entire run was Kelly O'Hara's unhinged Instagram presence. Like, that was my favorite thing that's ever happened. I was like, it's great.
Now, Lempicka, I think, it was a really interesting show, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way that it may sound like, but it was very interesting to me historically. Like, I had never heard anything about it, hadn't heard of her, so I thought that was the kind of show that you spend an hour on Wikipedia after, like Suffs. It has grown on me. I didn't love the score the first time I heard it. And then I didn't really love it when I saw it. And then having listened back to it now a couple of times, I really dig the score.
I think it's just so interesting. I agree, though, it's a show that I agree that it's a show that grows on you. I do think, like, the lighting is unmatched. Like, it's so beautiful. I'm very curious. Like, I'm very curious how it's going to be reviewed. They've been changing a lot. Like, every day has been changing from the sounds of it, which is exciting. I like when shows do that. But it could literally be like, they might be like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened, and be like, this is garbage. And I could not tell you, because the way that I keep saying is, I was like, it has like the epic scale of like Les Mis, like the intimacy of Bridges in Madison County. Like, that is and so it's such a wide range of what they're trying to do, and they're trying to kind of do too much, but then also it works.
Yeah, I mean, it's by far the most useless ensemble of the season, other than Days of Wine and Roses.
I was like, you sure about that?
They both equally have no reason to be there.
At least in Lempicka, they're singing.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're singing, and they're the dance. I think the choreography is really cool. It's a small ensemble, but like, I think you have to have an ensemble for like scenes in a club. Yeah. You can't have her walking into a club and there's just the two of them there and Natalie Joy Johnson singing her face off.
And I'm not going to say my true opinions about the direction of that show because Ashley's here.
I have not seen it yet, but I have heard m like 92% good things.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm seeing it tonight.
my opinion is I don't care what men have to say about Limpika, and that's been my that has been my line. And a lot of men have come into my DMs every time I say, well, I don't care. And Rachel Chavkin is not a director for everybody, but she's a director for
That's
me.
such, I'm sorry, that's such a men thing to do, to just be like, I'm gonna unsolicited come into your DMs to tell you how much I hate this show that you love. Like, what? Yeah, who
I
cares?
can't tell you how many times it's happened in the past 2 weeks. Like, cannot tell you how many times it's happened. That's why I tweeted that thing being like, if you don't like a show, it's a you problem. Like, I'm like, because I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'm like, I'm not
Yeah.
gonna convince you it's a good show. It's not my job, and I don't care. Like, I like it, and here's why I like it. And if you don't like it, good for you.
Yeah.
Enjoy Spamalot. Like, that's for you. Tell me all your Spamalot opinions. Like, would love to hear about your Spamalot opinions.
And I think once this crazy season is done and I'm able to revisit Lempicka, I think I'll really enjoy it. But I do think I agree with you that it's growing, like it needs to grow on you. And sometimes shows are like that.
I mean, Hadestown was like that for me. And so I think it's interesting that like Rachel Chavkin has kind of picked these projects that like, and I do wonder what it is about her style that contributes to that. But I think it is interesting that like sometimes there are shows that you kind of have to sit with for a little while. And to be honest, Days of Wine and like I still don't love Days of Wine and Roses, but Days of Wine and Roses is one that definitely grew on me and I appreciated it more the more that I sat with it.
No, it's why I'm happy I'm seeing Gatsby in Boston twice, because I feel like that's a show that I'm going to be like, see it and then sit with it for like a month and then see it again. Because I feel like that'll be, she throws so much at the wall and then she has to like scale it back. And I feel like that's always been how she does things. She's like tries everything and then sees what works and then like pulls the things back that don't work for her.
Yeah, I mean, if they're truly changing Lempicka so much, maybe a revisiting post-opening
Yeah. Yeah.
is a good idea.
I mean, it should. I think they're freezing it next week, so.
Oh, that's good enough.
If anyone wants to go to a very fun event, every Thursday, 11 p.m., Natalie Joy Johnson does a free concert at Freaky Tiki at the Monocle. I've gone the last 2 weeks. I'm going the next 2 weeks. It is so much fun. So
That's
much
fun.
fun.
And it's free.
A free 2-hour concert where she sings her face off.
I'll be there next week. Now, we had some interesting revivals this year as well, including Gutenberg, which has been classified a revival, which unfortunately I don't think we see any nominations for,
I'm so sad.
which is such a shame.
I'm so
Yeah.
sad. It was one of my favorite shows.
I truly think it is one of Alex Timber's best works. I
I
think
agree.
he really is an incredible director of large scale projects, but you see how talented he is in an intimate show like this.
And the detail, like the attention to detail, is just so good.
Gutenberg for set design.
I you know what? I would not be opposed.
And then Spamalot as well. Do we think we see anything?
No.
It's a no
Maybe
for me.
Leslie Kritzer. Maybe.
But
Well, no, she's supporting. There's no way she gets.
I just think because her supporting role was so different to all of the other supporting roles, that like she's kind of like the standout, like
Yeah.
super comedic actress this year. And so I do wonder if she kind of like sneaks in.
I wish Tamika Lawrence's part was a little bit bigger in Hard Rock and Roll, because I think
Yeah.
they give her like just again in another year I could see her sneak like a different season I could see her sneaking in, but her part is just like a little too small and she doesn't get like a to like really to do it I think,
Well, and
but
as we
maybe.
start to talk about next season as well, there's so many things happening next season that are so interesting. I mean, we have the Palace reopening with Tammy Faye, and you have Sunset Boulevard and you have Forbidden Broadway. You have the Our Town revival with the casting that is existing. You have the Louis Armstrong musical, which I've heard mediocre things about from people in Chicago who saw it. And so I think that, and Smash. And so I think that next season is going to be really interesting. And to then transition to a question from one of our audience members, what from this season do we think is still running in a year?
Cabaret.
Yeah.
Back to the Future.
I don't think so.
Maybe The Notebook, maybe.
Yeah.
I can see The Notebook. I mean, I think The Notebook has they because they're coming from such a big property, I do think. Yeah.
And I think dependent on who the best musical winner is,
mm-hmm.
That like if it's Outsiders, I could see that.
It's hard. It's hard because it's so early still, and so we haven't seen, like, for the most of these shows, they haven't even opened, so we haven't seen reviews. And they're all, like, most of them are in their first week of previews, so we're seeing, like, everybody trying to see the first cheap ones, the cheap shows, and so it'll be interesting once they kind of, like, once word of mouth gets out and stuff, like, settles, how they're looking, but it's so early right now.
I think we could see Hell's Kitchen still be open in a year.
Gosh, I don't think so.
Interesting additional question. What shows, saying that everything is still open, which we know it won't be, ignoring that, what shows do we think we see on the Thanksgiving Day parade next year is a question from the audience.
Boo. Good one.
Got the tote bag right there.
Yeah. Nothing from this season. I mean, like, the only one that feels like it would fit with the Thanksgiving Day parade is Hard Rock and Roll, and I don't think it's gonna be open, which is tragic because I could
see Cabaret doing a number, like one of the fun, like, but like I don't
could
think they'll need
see
to.
Them doing the CBS the pre-tape.
That's
one.
What I mean. Like that's what I mean. Like I think because again they could like do something. Like they've got there's enough numbers in Cabaret that you don't need like the context to, like, you know what I mean. Like
I'm
just trying to think of what number they could do that's not like overtly sexual.
Well, they would just have to like tone it down a little bit.
How will so many new shows this year affect the ecosystem of Broadway? Is another audience question.
It looks like nothing at all. It looks like we're just going to have the same exact thing next season.
I just want to say, people like to talk about the ecosystem of Broadway without looking at the history of Broadway, and that there's been plenty of seasons where there have been an abundance of musicals and plays. We just haven't had that in a while, other than 2017. But you look at 2017, and there were still shows open from that season upwards of like 2 years ago. And that's the last time that we had like this many new musicals. Yes, stuff closed early. Yes, stuff flopped that shouldn't have flopped. Like Bandstand is an underrated musical. But for the most part, they didn't like all cannibalize each other to the point that, you know, Come From Away and Dear Evan Hansen didn't survive a pandemic, you know, like I don't know. I feel like people get really dramatic about there being a ton of musicals. And I do think that there are aspects of this season, like the fact that so many of the musicals kind of fit into the same bin. But other than that, like, I don't think it says anything about the ecosystem, just that there were a bunch of theaters open because theaters didn't recover from the shutdown. And so there was a lot of space and a lot of shows took advantage of that space. But at the end of the day, stuff is still waiting in line.
Yeah,
I was very worried about supply and demand of these shows, which I think will fall into that post Tonys. I think it'll be really interesting to see how long some of these stay open post Tonys, especially if they don't get nominated. I think that'll be really interesting to see in the summer. But I agree with you. Every single house that I've been in the past month or so has been full. I mean, like, people are seeing these shows, and if you look at the grosses, they're seeing them, and most of these shows are making money.
People are paying insane prices for some of these shows. People are paying over $800 to go see Cabaret. Like, people want to see theater. They want to see prestige theater.
JT?
Yeah, for me it's about the quality. Is I was afraid that the quality wouldn't match up to the quantity, and that is the case in some aspects. But I do feel, as a whole, looking at the season so far, even the stuff that I have not seen, but I heard a lot about, I do think that the quality is there. And like you were saying, people are paying to see good theater. And just because there's a lot of shows doesn't mean that there's less people to see those shows. There will never be enough shows for everybody to see a show. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many people that want to see so many shows. So the more shows, the better. Bring them on, baby.
You know, I think the reason that people are talking about this is because there is much more now this culture of seeing every show and finishing the season, that I don't think there really was as much pre-pandemic. And so I think that that's why a lot of people are talking about it. Those are the people that we're hearing are us who are freaking out about seeing so many
And
shows.
I do wonder how much of that is the culture that we've created now online, where we have like such a community of people that talk about theater all the time. And so we've kind of created like this, because I've always wanted to see every show, but I've never one had the means or the platform that like has encouraged me to do that. And so I do wonder how much of it is the fact that we're all online talking about how much we want to see every show, and that inspires other people to want to see every show. And I don't know. I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see next season if we see any transfers of some successful shows that have been off Broadway this season. Things like Connector, Dead Outlaw, any of those. If we
What if it's the
see.
Social Club? I feel
Thank
like
you.
we're just
Yeah.
waiting for them to announce, because
100%.
that was
100%.
yeah.
That feels like a Broadway show. I didn't see it. Just everything I've heard about it feels like a Broadway show, and the fact that it like it's the most nominated
Yeah.
for the Lord Tells.
Now, again, my biggest complaint about Buena Vista was that it felt like it was too big for the space, which is good because it's going to be in a much
That's
bigger
a
space.
great reason to transfer.
Right. Like it literally, the problem with that theater is it literally felt like everyone was cramped and on top of each other trying to do these really great dance numbers, but like didn't have room because it was a tiny, it was a theater they did Kimberly Akimbo in. Like,
Yeah,
Jesus.
I ushered for that show,
That's
and
what I
it
did.
definitely felt like there was a lot happening, and I was like, I don't know where I should focus my attention because everything is like so like right here. It
You
was
know
a
what's
lot.
really interesting about this season, though, is that we have Outsiders and Notebook, which I've everything I've and I have not seen the Outsiders yet, but everything that I've heard about both of them is that they actually have the opposite problem, where they started off out of town on like bigger stages that were wider stages, and now that they're in these small Broadway houses, they have all these sight line issues, which is very interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, this year definitely had like a lot of out of town tryouts that transferred, whether it's West End or Chicago or La Jolla or
Atlanta.
anywhere, Atlanta. And I think I'm trying to think next year. I mean, there's
Syracuse.
Boop, Sunset, but I really liked last year how there was some off-Broadway love. This year there was really only
Days of
Days.
Wonder Roses. Oh, and Harmony.
Oh, and Harmony. And but
Oh,
this and
Suffs.
Suffs and Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, I was like,
Oh, they're like half off Broadway. Technically, Illinois is two.
I really loved the work that Suffs did, I will also say. It is a great example of making the changes that a show needs. I didn't love it when I saw it at the Public. I saw that there was something there, that there was potential. And they made the changes that,
Yeah,
you know.
and even the thing I hated the most about the new production, which is Les Grace McLean, I understand why they did it, right? Like
Yeah.
it strengthens the show, even if it makes me personally sad.
And
Even
I
like I think of like Water for Elephants, I think also made a lot of the changes that I needed. And my biggest issue with it still is the score, but that's like you can't rewrite an entire score before going to Broadway, you know? But
I
every
hope Devil
minor
Wears Prada
change.
does.
Gatsby too. Gatsby, every change Gatsby made from Paper Mill was the right change. Every single one.
Yeah.
I miss nothing from the paper mill version that's on Broadway. Like, I'm so, like, I still think there's work to be done, but they have a, they still have a, they have the last one to open. They still have a lot of time.
The Notebook also made some changes that I love.
Yes.
The new duet.
One request for Gatsby, and that is, I need more of that opening number.
The opening number is totally different now.
I hope so.
And they completely changed New Money, didn't they?
Yes.
It's like a new song.
New Money is totally different.
New song, same title.
Eva's song is a new, completely different song. Her first song. Well, I'm excited. The opening party is extravagant. It is like lush and lavish and huge. It feels like you're at like a, every minute you're like, oh my, like something new is happening. You're like, this is what it should have felt like. This is what it should feel like. It's really
good.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm seeing it next week. I'm extremely excited.
My biggest problem with it still, again, is the book is, I think it's a little too, like, I am like, it's like doing full monologues from the book. Like, it starts off with like his entire monologue about Gatsby, but I like don't mind. Like, I don't need to see him. I don't need a scene where he gets moves into the house. Glad they cut all that. Like, I don't need the one thing they did is they cut Wolfstein's character down a ton, which is unfortunate because Eric Anderson is so good in it. And I'm like, would like more of him.
And I hated that character, Paper Mill.
Right. And he's
that second act opener was horrible.
But the second act opener is almost the same, but it actually works because Eric is so charming, like so good. So I was pleasantly surprised, really pleasantly. Not that I thought it'd be bad, but like very pleasantly surprised how much I like enjoyed, because just by changing that actor really, really fixed a lot of the issues for me.
What do we think will be the sleeper hit financially from this season?
That's a good question.
I think maybe Suffs.
I literally was thinking
maybe.
Again, not Cabaret. Cabaret will take years to recoup. Or
maybe.
But it's going
a decade.
Maybe Outsiders. That's just like I haven't seen it, but I heard that it's not, literally doesn't look like, I mean, that does, that looks cheap, but like it's not expensive.
I believe the Cabaret recruitment is 3 years.
No, and Outsiders, I do think will be, because I think it's, I've heard it's actually quite hard to get tickets to now, but like it's doing really well.
And I think The Outsiders is going to have the advantage of like schools are going to go see it because they teach that book.
And Gatsby.
Yeah. But
I'm taking,
you know,
a
Gatsby's
bunch gonna
of... be done in schools. Not, yeah. They aren't.
Yeah,
gonna
I mean, it. I think long-term Gatsby's going to be the most successful show, yeah. But I think that's because we're talking about, it's going to be at every high school in the country. It's going to be at every regional theater in the country. I keep joking about it, but I'm not joking, is that we're going to, in 5 years, we're going to have a whole Jimmy Awards category of just Gatsby's and Daisy singing Green Light. Like, it's going to be like, you can already see, like, you can see it. It's going to be like,
it's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm taking a bunch of college students next week to see Gatsby. I mean, I loved it at Paper Mill. I really, really liked the score.
And it's only gotten better.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great season. There's a lot of shows, but I think that at the end of the day, our quality of these shows is not where I thought it would be. Like, there's no, like, really obviously bad shows.
But there's also no, like, home runs. Like, I feel like it's a season of like 3 and 4 star musicals, which are like they're good, they're really entertaining, I really enjoy them, but there's nothing that's like, oh, that's it, you know. There's revivals that are like, we have 2 5-star revivals, but we don't have a 5-star musical,
but
in my opinion.
But I haven't seen a 5-star musical in years. Like, I can't, like, I've seen a lot of musicals.
Kimbo.
I don't feel like that with Kimberly. Like, I like Kimberly. I don't think I don't like Kimberly. And like, I was like, oh, that was, I liked it. But like, it's not my musical. Like, I can't tell you the last time that I saw a 5-star musical that wasn't like Diana the musical. 10 stars to 15 stars, Diana the musical.
So before we end, where can we find everyone on social media?
I'm Theaters Life on TikTok, Last Midnight on Instagram, and just my name, Kate Ryan King, nothing to hide behind on Twitter, where I post some really hot takes that get misconstrued. But yeah, I'm also Theaters Life on YouTube, and maybe there will be more videos on there this year.
I am JT Does NYC on everything. And yeah, I have some a lot of London content still coming. I literally just finished editing my last London video today, and I've been back for 2 weeks. So if that tells you how much content I made. So tons of London content, and lots of content for the new Broadway season, as well as some big news that I can't talk about right now.
Ooh.
Ashley?
And I'm Ashley Hufford on TikTok and and Twitter, and then Ashley _ Hufford on Instagram. It's very exciting. Just my name, so everywhere. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff's coming out. I'm also very behind on my TikTok content. I have to do my March theater review. I mean, I've made it, filmed it. I haven't posted it yet, so I gotta post that today.
And you can find me on Twitter at SpencerShare_, on Instagram at ShareSpencer. You can follow the show at EGOT_podcast on both Instagram and Twitter. We're really excited about this season. It's crazy. I don't know how we're going to be able to predict these nominations, but we're going to. So yeah, thank you all for listening. You will see us next week.